Lord, open up my lips that I may proclaim your word. Open up our hearts that we may receive whatever it is that you have for each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So you might be wondering, why am I wearing this bright orange shirt? What is up with this thing? Well, it goes with what we're talking about today. This is Steve Carlson's running jersey for Team World Vision, so I'm representing that today. But I'm also talking about how to stand firm in your faith, how to run the race of your faith all the way until the very end. And, you know, as I've told many of you before, that when I was in high school, I was in cross country, and we got invited to one of the largest, I think maybe the largest invitational meet in the state of Indiana. And there were like a couple hundred teams there or something. I mean, it was crazy. There were hundreds and hundreds of runners, more runners than I had ever seen. And leading up to this this race, there was all this talk and all this buzz going around about this place on the course called Agony Hill. And what Agony Hill was, it was a 200-meter, nearly vertical uphill climb that was 90% sand. It was crazy. And so I'm getting ready for the race, and I'm more nervous than I've ever been. I mean, there's all these great runners and all these teams from Indianapolis, and we're just from this small farm town. And so we're getting ready, and I'm super nervous, and the whole time I'm distracted. You know, because there's at any moment in the race, there's so many people. There's 10 people in front of me and 10 people behind me. And I'm just getting passed by more people than I ever have. And I'm thinking about Agony Hill and how terrible it's going to be. And I finally get up the hill, but after the hill, I'm just beat, and I'm just distracted. And I end up having the worst race of the season at this big invitational. And I think why that happened was, the reason I did so poorly was because my eyes were not on the prize. My eyes were not on the finish line. They were on everybody else around me. They were on this Agony Hill that I was about to face. And so I did not do well because my eyes were not on the prize. And I think what's true in running is also true in the Christian life. To stand firm in our faith, to run the race well, we have to keep our eyes on the prize. And Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, which we've been studying the past while, he tells these believers that he wants them to stand firm in their faith until the very end, until they go home and see the King. And so what we're going to do today is we're actually going to read the last verse of our text. Because sometimes Paul says what he wants you to know at the very end. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles. Our text today is actually chapter 3, verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 1. I'm just going to read to you verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. So the therefore in this passage means what Paul, everything that Paul has just said before, this is what he wants you to do, to stand firm in your faith, to finish the race of life well. But just like this big cross-country race that I was in, there are many people and there are many things to distract us. Perhaps there's a few agony hills along the way. And I want to clarify something. Yes, we are saved by God's grace, and we've talked about the gospel and how God saves us, but we have to be clear, we are all called to stand firm in our walk with the Lord until the very end. We have to finish it out. In fact, this is what we've been praying, that we would be found blameless and pure until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul said previously in this very book of Philippians that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work in you. So yes, it's God who gives you the grace to run this race until the very end, but we have to be running and living it out. We don't just get to say, well, you know, Jesus, you ran the race for me. You finished for me, so I just get to watch and say, thank you, Lord, for that grace. No, he says, you are in a race, and Jesus is actually running alongside you, and we have to finish it till the very end. So to run this race well, we have to keep our eyes on the prize, on the finish line of life, because soon and very soon, we will see the King. We will see Jesus face to face, and we have to ask ourselves, what do we want Jesus to say to us when we finally meet him? Do we want him to say, well, you kind of tried to finish well. Or you intended to finally get around to finishing this race, but you didn't really do it. Or do we want him to say, well done. You did it. You finished the race. And to do that, we're going to need some help. And Paul gives us some help in this passage. This passage teaches us many things about standing firm in our faith. And so I want to give you 5 ways that this passage teaches us to stand firm in our faith. It's going to be 5 things. And the first is this. Remember that you haven't arrived. Remember that you have not arrived. Verse 12. Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Now, this is amazing to me. The Apostle Paul, where many of his writings became part of the New Testament, and he once said that he works harder than all of Jesus' apostles. This guy has been beaten to death, and in fact, he's writing from prison because he's in prison for Jesus. And then he says, yeah, my discipleship, haven't arrived yet. Haven't quite made it to where I want to go. Haven't quite finished the race. I still have more to do. Paul says he has not arrived. That is amazing. John Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, says this about this passage. He who thinks that he is still distant from the goal will never cease running. For the runner reckons up not how many circuits they have finished, but how many are left. You know, when you're running a race, you don't say, well, I'm counting how many I've done. No, you're thinking about how many you have left so that you can determine how fast you need to go. And so remembering when you're running, we can't get too comfortable. We can't get too comfortable on the course. You can't just be satisfied that you've made it over Agony Hill. You have to remember, you know, the race isn't over. It's still going on. And I think this call to say that we haven't arrived should motivate us to keep going and not stand still. But sometimes I think we let this humility have the opposite effect. You know, we say, well, you know, I'm never going to be perfect. I'll never be one of those really committed Christians. I'm always just going to mess up at some point. Sin's always going to be around. But then you forget that you're in the course of life. And if you're standing pat, you're losing ground. We must always be going forward. Martin Luther has an awesome quote, one of my favorite quotes of all time. And he says this about life. He says, this life, therefore, is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness. Not health, but healing. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not yet what we shall be, but we are growing toward it. The process is not yet finished, but it is going on. This is not the end, but it is the road. All does not yet gleam in glory, but all is being purified. Man, what a picture of life. We haven't arrived. This is the going and the training ground. We are on the race of life, and we have to remember we haven't arrived. We're still going. Second way we can stand firm in our faith is let go of the past. Let go of the past. Paul says this in verse 13. He says, you know, I'm not very perfect, but one thing I do have down. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Now, I have a video I want to play for you that I think demonstrates a lot of the truth of this passage. It's a Big Ten Championships. We'll watch Heather Dorden. I think she's in this second lane. We'll see her.
The 600 meter underway. Heather Dorden in Minnesota finished second this event a year ago. She was in lane 4.
And Dornan is probably going to be your favorite. She actually won the NCAA championships in 2006 in the 800, but she only won one Big Ten championship in the 2 years.
3 laps in this event, 600 meters, 3 times around.
This is Heather's in second right now. That's her in second place.
What a bold move by Fallon. She's looking very confident, and the Penn State runner is just running amazing today. She did win her heat in the 400, but ended up taking fourth overall.
That's Fondor moving into the lead, a sophomore from Penn State. Dornan running second.
Dornan last year scored 23 points for the Golden Gophers in their Big Ten championship. So they're really relying on getting a lot of points from her this weekend. And
Heather taking the lead.
Just coming by Fondor now in the home stretch, heading into the bell lap.
Thornton falling down, gets up quickly, but that's going to cost her. Lucky she wasn't injured.
Her teammate just went to the front, though, so they may be way able back, to recover from that. And Thornton is flying down the backstretch.
She is catching up.
She is going to catch Von Dohr, and she may catch the leader.
Wow.
Wow. She's got Von.
This is a gutsy effort by Thornton. Can she pull it off? She's moving to third. Thornton coming down the stretch from the outside. Thornton coming on strong. Thornton all the way. Thornton. Yeah. She did it.
Wow.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing video. That was a 600-meter run. And she falls down at the very last lap, gets back up, and wins the race. But see, Heather had mastered the art of forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. She didn't let what happened in her past keep her from pursuing her goal. And I think that we need to have the same mindset. You know, if we fall down, we need to get right back up. Keep on going. And if you're still alive, it means your race isn't over. You can move forward. Maybe there's something in your past that's keeping you from fully pursuing God. Something you just can't let go of. But when you fall down in the course of life, the best thing you can do is get right back up. We can forget what is behind. But actually, in this passage, Paul wasn't necessarily talking about our past mistakes. Even though he would say that we should, you know, let those things go. He was actually confronting this idea in the church that, you know, the Christians there, because of Jesus' resurrection and because of God's grace, that they had arrived, that they had found peace with God, and that they could essentially live their lives however they wanted because God had already forgiven them and that Jesus had already been raised. And so he is correcting their misunderstanding. He's saying, no, I haven't obtained the prize yet. I haven't arrived at my goal. I'm forgetting what is behind. Or in other words, I'm forgetting all that I've accomplished already in my Christian life. All the good things that I've done for the Lord, I'm not taking that as a credit to my account. I'm not keeping track of my spiritual resume, so to speak. And how amazing is that? You know, I think people in Paul's church might have been like the people in front of Heather Dornadin. You know, that maybe they were getting too comfortable and they didn't realize that Heather was going to chase them down. They thought that they were going to win the race and they didn't kick it in until the end. I can imagine they got a little bit too comfortable. And I think if you've ever been on a running team or if there was ever a kind of 10 commandments of running, probably the first one would be, thou shalt not look back. You should not look back. Am I right, Dan Huttenlock? Is that a good thing a coach would say? You shouldn't look back. You have to consider all that you've run so far as of no consequence because the race isn't over. And so we have to say to ourselves that we need to keep pursuing Jesus Christ and his mission because God is not done with us yet. And we have a long way to go. God has more to do in our lives. And I think we can say this as individuals, but we also have to say it as a church community. You know, it's been great recently to celebrate, you know, 50 years of ministry at Faith Covenant. And it's been wonderful and grieving at times to say goodbye to the many folks who have made such an impact in our church and to remember the ministry that's happened here. But in some sense, Paul's not saying that we should just forget about those things, but he's saying don't let that lead you to pride and lead that for you to get too comfortable. In some sense, you do need to forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead because God has more to do in Faith Covenant Church. Amen? God has more to do in our lives. He has more to do in Wheaton, Illinois. He has more to do in DuPage County. He still has more people he wants to save. He has more brokenness that he wants to heal, more families he wants to restore, more broken hearts he wants to heal. And he wants us to be a part of that as a church, finishing the race, keeping our focus appropriately on the future. So we have to come together and say, God, what do you have for us in this next season? What do you have for Faith Covenant Church and in our lives in this next year, in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years? Because the goal, the marker is still out ahead. So when we say let go of the past, it means, yeah, letting go of both our failures and our accomplishments because God still has more for us to do. Third way to stand firm in our faith is pursue continual growth. pursue continual growth. You know, in a previous passage, we talked about how Paul wanted to remain around the Philippians so that they would make progress in their faith. This is what he's talking about. Verse 13, if you're reading along, he says, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you." So if you don't agree with Paul yet, God will make it clear to you. But he says all these kind of things he's talking about in this passage are kind of taken from the world of running. So when he says, "I'm straining towards what is ahead," it's a picture of a runner sprinting with every muscle, with every fiber, with every bone, everything they have to the finish line, to cross. He's straining towards what is ahead, to what God has for him. And then he says, "I press on," which kind of means to chase something down and capture it. Kind of like Heather chased down those who were in the lead and captured that lead. And he's saying, I am taking that same mentality to my Christian life. I am pressing on towards the goal. It's an all-out pursuit. And when he says the word goal, it's not like the way we think of goal. It's actually the Greek word for goal marker. It's the finish line, the tape that you cross when you cross the finish line. Paul's keeping his eyes forward, always trying to get closer to the finish. And then he says that God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is another metaphor from running. So when they would run the Olympic Games or other kinds of running competitions, the judge would be high up, and then he would call the names forward for the people to receive the prize that they had won. Like we see in the Olympics still to this day. And so he's saying, when I meet Jesus, when I see God face to face, I want him to call me up so that I can receive the prize and receive what he has for me. So this means we must refuse complacency. We must repent of just mere contentment in our Christian lives. We must repent of our complacency in our holiness, in our walk with God, and have an all-out pursuit. And if you thought for a second Paul thought this would be easy, or that you could just slack off a little bit, he says in another passage, 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, "Run in such a way as to get the prize." Run in such a way as to win. And I think sometimes, you know, being a runner, sometimes when you run with a group, you begin to run as fast as everyone else around you. You get comfortable with a certain pace. And so if we thought we could take a relaxing stroll of Christianity, or if we could just have an easy, cheap grace, Paul is quick to correct us. Run in such a way as to win. Run to get the prize. Runners who try to win, they go into strict training. They watch what they eat. They don't do anything that will hinder their progress or their chances of winning. And they do all this for a temporary crown. But Paul says we're in a race with eternal rewards, with an eternal consequence. And for what Jesus will say to us face to face. So run in such a way as to win. Another great quote from a guy named Steve Prefontaine. I'm just curious, how many people who know who that is? Okay, so there's at least a handful. Very famous American runner in the early 1970s. Famous for just going all out. And he has lots of great quotes. And I thought what he said once applies here. He says, "A lot of people run a race to see who is the fastest. I run to see who has the most guts. Who can punish himself into exhausting pace and then at the end punish himself even more." Isn't that like just mind-boggling? And I thought for a second when I read that quote, I'm like, that's amazing, and that's kind of crazy. But I'm like, you know what? That actually kind of sounds like Jesus a little bit. If I can die to myself every day, if I can take to my cross up every single day, and then at the very end die to myself even more, because actually that's the way that leads to life. That's the way that leads to more abundant life now and abundant life with God. So we press on towards the goal. Fourth way we can stand firm in our faith is find good examples. Find good examples. Verse 17, Paul says, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, And just as you all have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. You know, I kind of gave a sermon on this already a few weeks ago. Some of you might have been here. And if you care to listen, it's called Real People Living the Real Gospel Life. We talk about all these examples of people living out the gospel. So I encourage you to listen to that if you haven't, because I'm not going to go too in-depth with this point. But suffice it to say here that running on your own, training on your own, is extremely hard, extremely difficult. And if you're running in such a way as to win, as to get the prize, you need to surround yourself with people who will take you further and faster than you ever intended to go on your own. And Jim Rohn, a famous business motivational speaker, said, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." Think about that. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I think there's some truth in that. And I think about the people you spend time with. Are there people in your life who are saying, "We are running this race together. We are going further and faster because we're in this race of life together," and they're encouraging you and furthering your walk with Christ? And when you find those people, Paul says, keep your eyes on them. Watch them. Imitate their way of life, because they're going to show you how to run this thing. Lastly, fifth way to stand firm is have an eternal perspective. Have an eternal perspective. Verses 18 through 21, Paul says, "For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." So Paul's saying, you know what, there are many people who live as if this is all there is. At the world around you, the world you can see, they live as if this is the only thing that they're living for. As if there's no judgment or no sin or no consequences or no God. And he says they focus on their stomach, which was an ancient way of saying they focus on their desires, the seat of their desires, what they want. And then he says their glory is in their shame. Or in other words, they boast about or take pride in their sins. They're not ashamed about what they should be shameful of, but rather they celebrate it. And isn't this true among maybe even us in our culture? And maybe sometimes, if we're willing to admit, even in our churches, even here? We say, we maybe celebrate the greed among us that we have. And we say, oh, that's such a great thing. Or we celebrate pride, or we celebrate lust, or we celebrate gluttony. Or we celebrate our sloth or our laziness. And we say, these are good things. But this comes from a view of getting the most pleasure out of life that we can. And Paul's saying people like this actually are on a path of reaping their own destruction in their life now and their life to come. And that's exactly where it will lead, because their mind is set only upon this earth. But Paul says, no, we're not like this. We are citizens of heaven. And this doesn't mean that, okay, we're just hanging around until we get to heaven someday and we're just waiting to go. Actually, the Philippians would have understood this, because they were a colony of Rome, many hundreds of miles away. And the idea was they weren't just waiting to go to Rome someday. They were saying, we're bringing the Roman way of life to Philippi. They would speak Latin, and they would bring the Roman culture, and they would do as the Romans do in Philippi. And so in the same way, Paul is saying, you bring an eternal perspective. You bring a heavenly perspective. In a world that thinks this is all there is and that we're living for just our own desires, he says, you bring in a whole different story. And you bring in a whole different way of life. And it's a witness to the people around you. So we must remember that we are citizens of heaven and not just of earth. And so I think because of this, we eagerly await a Savior from there. And we think often about the shortness of life. My encouragement to you this morning is if you're younger, you're just starting out, you're just kind of more in that younger crowd, this is the time to make the most of it. This is the time to run as best race as you can, to make the most of the time. Carpe diem, seize the day. Run the best race you can. And if you're getting a little older, your race is getting almost over. But you know what happens? when a runner approaches the end of the track? Do you know what they do? They run faster. They run even faster. They sprint it in. They kick it in. They don't look back and say, well, I've done it all, and now is my time just to sit around and watch everyone else step up. It's no, I am sprinting with everything I have. I am straining with all my muscles towards the goal so that Jesus will commend me for a race well lived, for a life well done. And all of us, no matter your age, should have that same perspective. We are finishing this race. So we must keep our eyes on the prize, to stand firm until the end. We're running towards Jesus, towards his holiness, towards his character, because God has more to do in your life. God has more to do in my life. God has more to do in Faith Covenant Church. Let's pray. Let me give you a moment of silence to reflect, and then we'll pray. Oh, holy God, remind us this morning that we are on this race with you. That Jesus, you come, you run alongside us, empowering us, enabling us to finish until the very end. God, give us the drive, give us the passion, give us the determination, Lord, to run this race well, Lord, so that we hear from you, well done. God, that is my heart cry for myself and for every person here, that they would hear those words from you. Lord, give us the grace in our lives that we need, in our weakness, in our humanity, Lord. Remember us and have mercy. And God, let us not use our humility as an excuse, but Lord, to let it press us on towards further growth in you. And God, may we all leave here this morning with a greater desire to know you, with a greater desire to run this race well and strong and finish it. All for your glory, all for your praise, God. Make this church a place that is filled with your righteousness to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us now stand and sing.